And I said, will come for us all.
Hey, Samantha, where can they find us on the social medias?
I am so glad you asked. They can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Reaper Tales Podcast and on TikTok at reaper.tales.podc.
Nailed it.
Just podc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can email us at reapergals@reapertales.com. I'm always looking at it. So if you're one of the ones that emails me on a regular basis, you know that. I do respond almost in real time. Unless, like,
almost.
I'm on vacation or like I'm bed rotting, but that's a different thing. So email us at reapergals@reapertales.com. Email me to tell me that I look pretty. Email me to tell me I'm doing a good job and to send us your show suggestions and anything else that you want us to cover or anything like that. So yeah.
And please remember to like, rate, review, subscribe, all the things you lovely listeners know what to do anyway. On any of the listening platforms that you use. As per usual, you get bonus points if you do it on platforms you don't listen to us on, but you give us a nice little review. And worded reviews will get special shout outs. So if you are so inclined to do so, please do us a favor. Makes it a little easier for people to find us. And if you don't
Thanks.
Want to be listed out, by the way, on the worded reviews, it's too bad. We're still going to give you a shout out.
Yeah. Yeah, even if you say we smell like boogers or something like that. Okay, thanks.
Rude.
Hello, I'm Montana.
And I'm Samantha.
And you're listening to
Reaper Tales.
And today, I'm going to tell you about mermaids. Yeah, we had something else planned and then I couldn't decide between three different subjects. And so I sent it to our chat and was like, hey, which one do you want? And Kelsey and Samantha said natural disaster. And like I do, I decided on the mermaid instead.
It's like, JK, I just wanted to know what I don't want to do. So that narrowed it down to two.
No,
it works.
I was researching natural disasters and I have one almost done, and as I was going through it I was like, this is making me really sad and I don't want to do it, so I'm gonna do mermaids.
Works for me.
Before I get into it, Samantha, what are we drinking?
That's a good question. Hang on. So it is called the Tipsy Mermaid Cocktail, and there were debates on how many it made. It says on the ingredients list, it says one times, but I guess it's technically two drinks. But you're going to do 3 ounces of pineapple juice, 2 ounces of white or light rum, 2 ounces of blue curacao, 1 ounce lime juice, 1 can White Claw watermelon seltzer, ice, and then lime slices, pineapple wedges, and or maraschino cherries for garnish, just whatever you like. You're going to combine the pineapple juice, rum, blue curacao, and lime juice in a small pitcher and lightly stir. Pour in the White Claw and give it another stir. Then pour in the mixture into individual glasses with ice. And then garnish with the fruit of your choice out of the list that we provided. Or, you know, whatever else you want. We're not judging. And then serve immediately. Now, those are the actual directions. Now, let's get into the part that's always the most fun. And how did we not follow the instructions?
Well, actually, you know what? I did follow the instructions. Well, I told you guys that I only had coconut rum. I actually ended up going to the store and got regular rum so I could follow the directions and actually have it right. And then my Instacart order gave me these little tiny fucking limes that I had to squeeze 10 of. To get 2 ounces of lime juice. And then I thought I did it right. And I looked at Kelsey's drink and I was like, yours is really blue. I think you put too much curacao in it. No, I didn't put enough. So, you know, I can never do it right.
Now my tongue is blue. So is it worth it? Yes, it is.
Yes.
I followed directions. to a T. I actually doubled the recipe because I made a pitcher, but it only made half a pitcher. But it is delicious. So, and it's a little, it's so good that it, you may just drink so much of it. So be careful.
Yeah, true. And I found that you can just get the watermelon White Claws, like a whole box of them. So I was like, I'll just do that. Yeah, you know how they normally come in like the variety pack or whatever?
Yeah.
They just had just the watermelon one. And I was like, that's perfect.
All right. As long as you like the watermelon ones.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I like those better than the rest of them. I'm a Truly girl. Through and through.
Fair. Same. Yeah.
So, anyways.
I didn't follow any of the instructions because I didn't have any of the ingredients and didn't have time to go buy anything. So, I have no idea what this is. Thanks, Paul, for making my drink for me again.
Husband of the year.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
So cheers.
You're still a cheers. We can actually cheers this time. And I guess if you want to make a mocktail, just don't put in the White Claw and don't put in the rum, obviously. Just put in a watermelon seltzer, a non alcoholic seltzer. So do that.
There you go.
Do you. Ta-da.
It looks really yummy. I might send that recipe to Jenny to get her to get the ingredients and we'll just make it on the beach.
It would be a perfect beach drink, honestly.
It looks like so.
It's a very
It might be a little too sweet drink. For me. We'll see.
Well, you're still a beach. Who's going to the beach? I'm just going to keep making the joke.
Okay. Whatever makes you happy, Montana. Well, in the meantime, I can't wait to hear about mermaids.
I'm so excited for you and for me. Legends of mermaids have been around for centuries. In almost any culture and every country, you can find stories that describe beautiful half-fish, half-human creatures. They can do anything from luring you to your death to granting wishes. But today, I'm going to focus mostly on African and Carolina legends that surround mermaids. And there's a reason why I included African legends in this as well. It's going to be a topic that I love and I will never stop talking about. While I'm not going to deep dive the African legends, the stories of mermaids, the reason I've included that specification in today's episode is because many of the legends and stories we have in the Carolinas come mostly from the Gullah people. And if you haven't listened or heard the episode where I cover the Boo Hag, I'd suggest listening to that. Only because I explain more about their culture and history. And it'll help you understand, like, why that's important to the Carolinas and Georgia and Florida is really where the Gullah people are. And they were stolen from Africa and put out there on these islands to farm as slaves. And they were isolated, so they came up with their own dialect, which is the Gullah Geechee. Or Geechee dialect, depending on where you're at in those islands out there. But they have like a rich history and culture. And honestly, I just love their stories because they're creepy. They're magical. I don't know. There's something about the stories and the lore that come from the Gullah Geechee people that is just like, it gets me, you know?
That's fair. Out of curiosity, because of where they came from, just in general, like, is so I'm assuming most of this is like word of mouth passed down generation, wasn't really written for a long time.
Yeah, a lot of it didn't get written down until like depending on what you're talking about. One of the stories that I'm going to tell you today was actually written down and investigated in the 1800s. So right about that time.
Investigated?
Yeah. It was white men doing white men shit. As they do.
Okay. Fair enough.
But yeah, most of it was not written down, which is really sad because right now there is, for decades after the Civil War and all of that ended, there was this push to get rid of the Gullah Geechee culture. And if you look into, like, their dialect is really cool and it's, I like the way it sounds and things like that, but there was this push to force them to learn English to get rid of that language. And in a lot of ways, they put negative connotations on it and, like, negative stereotypes. If you spoke like that, you were uneducated or you were stupid. That was what they made people think. And so a lot of the language is not known by the people anymore, but there is this kind of push now to re-educate in their own culture so that they know it and things like that. So a lot of it was saved because of the stories that were passed down from generation to generation. And now that there is this push to kind of, like, ensure that it stays, hopefully we're not going to lose as much from that culture. I love this topic. I hate it. I hate it for them.
I kind of asked the question, right? So
yeah, that's true. So I'm going to tell you two-ish different stories, kind of three. You'll see why I say three, because there's not, like, in the second one that I'm going to tell you about, there's not, like, a specific story. There's just kind of, like, word of mouth, kind of, this is what happened, and this is a specific mermaid that it entails. But they're all based out of Charleston, South Carolina. And if you look at the map of where the Gullah Geechee actually are, it's from Jacksonville, Florida to Jacksonville, North Carolina. And Charleston, South Carolina is important to that because it's smack dab in the middle. It's the center. And so it's when you're talking about, like, the dialect that they speak, Gullah Geechee is South Carolina, because Georgia is Geechee and North Carolina is Gullah. So they kind of overlap in that section.
Okay.
But cool. There's your little geography lesson, I guess.
I love when you're giving these geography lessons and you're using so many hand gestures that are not going to be seen on the podcast.
Oh, God.
Up here and down here. And then they meet here and it's like, they are not going to have any idea what you just said. Someday when the video is released.
I do the same thing when I'm at work too. And I'm not on camera at work ever. So, like, what are you trying to say? What are you pointing at? We don't know. We can't see. Are you sharing your screen is my favorite one. I'm like, no, I'm just, like, miming stuff that you can't see. I'm smart.
You're like, no, my favorite is when they go, oh, you're not sharing your screen. Oh, I wasn't trying to.
But I wasn't trying to. Oh, man. Gah. So originally I was actually going to focus on the mermaids found around North Carolina because that's where I'm from. Or that's where I live. I'm originally from Alabama. I'll encroach if I want to encroach.
That's fine. Just know that I give as good as I get. So you can't fuss at me either.
But I love these ones. And I figured you would too. So I wanted to do these coming out the gate. But it's definitely a topic we're going to revisit. Because there are just, like I said, tons of mermaid lore from around the world. I didn't see if there were any in Alabama. I'd be interested to know if there was.
I'd be surprised if there was. Yeah, I mean, there's a section that's in the Gulf, but I don't know that. I haven't read anything about mermaids per se.
Well, and they don't have to be in an
the
ocean.
Swamp thing, they can, but
mm-hmm. They can be in a river, as we'll soon find out.
Okay. Well, obviously, we're going to have to cover it again because you just bought a whole bunch of books on it after you decided to cover this.
I know.
You're going to have to put those books to use.
Oh, man. I'm so smart. But there's also like there's also kind of like a hot debate in the cryptid world where a lot of people think that mermaids and sirens are the same thing. Like some people are like, no, sirens are this thing, like they're specifically luring people to their death and things like that, while mermaids can be, you know, this other thing. They can be mystical and things like that. They can still kill you, but they don't have like a siren whale that will call you to it. But other people are like, no, bitch, you don't know what you're talking about. They're both the same thing.
I love it when people start arguing about cryptids and who's right and who's wrong. Always fun. But I figured that was going to come up at some point because it does seem like there's a lot of overlap that comes up from time to time.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of overlap. And I'm not going to give my opinion on what it is until I look into it more. I'm leaning towards they're two different things. Or they can be multiple different things. We don't know. And no, we're not going to talk about the manatee.
Okay.
So first up, I'm going to talk about the Pushi plantation spirit. The Pushi plantation spirit was said to be a Simbi spirit. Simbi spirits are believed to have originated with the Bakongo people in Congo. When you talk about like the different people in the Congo, it can be Bakongo, Bikondo, Congo, and things like that. It's just they have different like spiritual beliefs and things like that, religion or what have you, practices. They were believed to be magical water spirits that could appear as a person, a snake, a calabash vine, a kalunga, a spark of fire, and some claims say Bishimbi, and Bishimbi is the plural for Simbis. Bishimbi also appear as birds, twisted trees, and mermaid-like beings. They are seen as guardians of nature and the intermediaries who travel the Kalunga line between Kusake, I hope I said that right, the physical world of the living, and Kuhimba, the spiritual world of the ancestors. They are also believed to be spiritual guides, using storytelling and oral tradition to connect the living to the ancestors and their history. While that is Bakongo beliefs and Hoodoo beliefs, they inhabit rocks, gullies, streams, and pools, and are able to influence the fertility and well-being of those living in the area. And this is important because Edmund Ruffins, in the early 1800s, traveled through South Carolina, where part of his overall efforts to keep the slave economic system viable through agriculture reform. Because of rather severe economic depression during the previous 25 years and the exhaustion of fields due to monocropping, Ruffin became preoccupied with marling and liming to fix the fields. And that's because we fucked them up, but look into the Dust Bowl.
All over the U.S.
Yeah. On March 25th, 1843, Ruffin visited the plantation of Mr. Robert Mazak, the owner of the Woodboo Plantation. It was in this vicinity that he had noticed numerous sinks, subterraneous passages of water, and limestone boiling springs. Ruffin referred to the sinks and springs as fountains. At the plantation, a fountain was cared for as a part of the landscaping. It was at that fountain that Ruffin first heard of a belief amongst the slaves regarding water spirits. Each fountain of any considerable size was believed to be inhabited by what they called a Simbi, which in the original version of Simbi, it's spelled S-I-M-B-I, and this dude spelled it C-Y-M-B-E. Like he went all the way around the block to try and spell it as differently as he possibly could. And then in his notes for it, he like blamed, he didn't blame. He was like, Oh, I bet they had never written it down before I did. So he did. He was blaming his misspelling on like, I didn't. And there was also like this whole debate about it later on. But whatever. I didn't get into that. He's kind of a dickhead. Each fountain had its own Simbi, each of which had a different size, appearance, and set of habits. And in some areas, it says that these Simbis can, like, they adjust to the size of what they're in, like a goldfish, I guess. A slave driver that accompanied Ruffin told him that he had never seen the Woodboo Simbi, but that others had told him that it was web-footed like a goose. Another elderly slave stated that as a very young boy, he had seen one at another fountain. Ruffin wrote that the man said the Simbi was seated on a plank, which was laid across the water, and that the long brown hair of her head hung down so low that it covered her face and whole body and limbs, which is like my hair. I strive to be a mermaid.
Currently, actually.
That he saw, he couldn't, so because of this, he couldn't see any other features, nor could he answer the question of whether she was white or black. Except as...
obviously very important to distinguish.
Yeah. Well, you know, white people do like to believe that mermaids are only white. After seeing her, she glided into the water and disappeared. The man admitted that he was, quote, so young and so frightened that his recollection of what he saw was rather vague, unquote. At Pushi Plantation on the Santee Canal, not too far from the Woodboo, Ruffin stated that a young slave boy went to a fountain for water late at night and was very frightened by a Simbi who was running around and around the fountain, having a good old time. Although few witnesses to the appearance of Simbis were found by Ruffin, he stated that they are generally believed by the slaves to be frequent and numerous. There could be a good reason that there aren't many accounts of them. Part of the legend is that it was bad luck for anyone who saw one to, quote, tell of the occurrence or refer to it, and that his death would be the certain penalty if they told.
Fair enough. So, I keep it to myself.
Yeah, I wouldn't be flapping my gums. According to the local slaves, the Woodboo Simbi was only seen when the sunshine was, quote, right up and down. At other fountains, they appeared at night. They were usually found sitting on a low bridge or plank crossing the water or on the edge of a steep side. There are several other people who looked into this over the years, but I'm not going to name them and I'm not going to go into the details of them, but... two of these men wrote that they would scare the slave women who were doing laundry at night by the wells by dropping stones into it, making the slaves think that there was a Simbi inside. Like, that's fucked up. And then they wrote it down. They were like, yeah, we just wanted to fuck with them, you know? Assholes.
Sounds about right, honestly. It's fascinating every single time we talk about something like this from so long ago to know that things don't change.
Right, right. So the real clincher in this story is the Woodboo plantation owner, Dr. Ravenel. He wanted to enclose one of the fountains in masonry. It was like a coffin and it raised the water in it. And the slaves begged him not to do this, telling him that the Simbi would leave and dry the fountain out. But Dr. Ravenel, well, wouldn't hear of it and continued with his plan.
Because he knew better, obviously.
Of course, he's a man. So the Pushi Plantation did the same with two of their fountains. The fountains didn't dry out, but some could say there were consequences to what he did. They just came much later. Because today you can't actually visit those locations because instead of, you know, things drying out, it's actually underwater now, that whole area. I guess justice was served.
So the opposite happened.
Yeah. She needed a bigger pond.
With less human beings around.
Truly. I mean, same. Girl, same. So that's the Simbi water spirit or mermaid, whichever one you want to call it. Now we're going to talk about river mermaids. And this is kind of the one where I was saying there's not like a specific story, but just a little quick quip on that. According to some, these mermaid stories have been around since the 1700s. Some say they were once enslaved Africans who escaped and found solace in the rivers. Others say mermaids were powerful water-dwelling spirits, like the Simbi, who used their magical powers to protect their children and families. The stories vary, but all agree that these mermaids were a force to be reckoned with. According to local legend, the Saluda River is home to a mermaid who is said to bring good luck to those who spot her. Some say the mermaid is so beautiful that fishermen have actually been known to abandon their boats and jump into the river to try and find her.
That sounds like a siren.
Kind of sounds like a siren. Yeah. Other stories include one of a brave fisherman who helped the mermaid escape a group of hunters, and another of a mermaid who grants wishes to those who are kind to her. River mermaids have been part of the Charleston folklore for centuries. Some say they are the spirits of women who died at sea, while others believe they are creatures of the sea that could transform themselves into human form. There are even stories of mermaids marrying local fishermen and bearing them children. And that was about all I could get on the river mermaids.
So it didn't, anywhere in the lore, it didn't specify that if they got out of the river and lived on land that they would become human like some of the other lore is.
Anytime I look for mermaid stuff, you have to go through like several pages on Google, because there's one specific mermaid story that I'm about to get to that just kept popping up. And if you go to Charleston, there's a whole like museums dedicated to like these stories. And there's art exhibits on like the Black culture around mermaids and things like that. It's pretty cool. Anyway, so I would imagine I could probably get it from some of the books that I got, or just straight up go into Charleston. And
that's what I was thinking. We need to take a trip to Charleston and go visit that museum.
Yeah, we should go back to Charleston. It's been a while. Girl trip. Hello.
I mean, we were talking about it.
Mm-hmm. So, my question there was not like if they come get out and they turn into humans, if they could turn back into mermaids. My question was, is their kid half mermaid?
Well, I wanted to like, know that too. That
are we talking like that one movie, that Disney movie, where the kid like goes to puberty and then he turns into a mermaid? What movie was that?
It's called The 13th Year. It's a 1999 fantasy comedy Disney Channel original movie. And he turns into like a mermaid. Yeah, you're right. It says about a boy who begins to transform into a merboy as he approaches his 13th birthday.
Uh-huh. Well, merman.
He discovers that his birth mother mm-hmm. is a mermaid. So his mom was a mermaid.
So his dad fucked a fish. Oh god,
I wish I could say I was surprised, but I'm really not at all.
This is gonna be such a great episode. God. Okay, so lastly, this story I've got to tell you, which is the one that kept like coming up, and one of the main reasons why I wanted to cover this specific area for mermaids, and that is the mermaid riots.
Okay.
So, the John Lining House was a historic home built in the late 1700s by local Dr. John Lining as a gift to his wife. The house managed to survive Charleston's bombardment during the Civil War and was only damaged when the doors were blown off. You know, casual.
I mean, I feel like that would do it.
Yeah. In the spring of 1867, Dr. William G. Trott opened an apothecary inside of the John Lining House. 3 days after opening, and he had not seen any customers, he finally got his first customer. Trott inquired as to what competition was out there supposedly stealing his business. And the woman who happened to walk in told him that nearby there was a Gullah Geechee root doctor that practiced hoodoo medicine plus root work. It's like spells and charms. The Civil War had just ended, and Charleston residents sought out her help, which was more affordable than Trott's remedies, and probably more reliable. If I can take a tea that's going to make me feel better instead of covering myself in leeches, I'm going to do it. Thanks. Trott had to think on his feet to find a way to make his apothecary more appealing. While brainstorming ideas, he found inspiration from P.T. Barnum's Fiji Mermaid Hoax.
Oh, there it is.
If you don't know what that is, well, the Fiji Mermaid was an object composed of the torso and head of a juvenile monkey sewn to the back half of a fish. It was a common feature of...
That's going to have to be a picture that we post, because I've seen that picture and it's absolutely ridiculous.
Grotesque. It's grotesque. It's so nasty. Why would you do this? It was a common feature of sideshows where it was presented as the mummified body of a creature that was supposedly half mammal and half fish, a version of the mermaid.
And it's totally natural. It's not like I sewed two things together at all. That's just how it was.
So Trott decided to close down his shop to gather supplies for a, quote, free magic show. The shop's windows now advertise. This sparked a buzz within the community, and 4 days later, excited patrons were lining up to see the spectacle.
So let me get this straight. We go from supposedly giving real medical remedies, quote unquote, scientific remedies, to straight up magic.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's not to get?
Just clarifying.
Guests entered rooms filled with ocean and river exhibits, which were rare and likely unheard of during this time period. Tanks were filled with plants, frogs, fish, and reptiles, seahorses, and more. But the attractions didn't stop there. For his final act, and this was really cool because, like, back then people didn't have aquariums. Like, they didn't, fish weren't pets like they are today. So.
Well, most of them had probably never really had a chance to see fish like that before, mm-hmm. like alive and swimming around.
Yeah, I bet it was really cool. Damn, to live in the 1800s.
You're about to ruin it.
I know. I wouldn't make it. I would be one of the ones that was lobotomized quickly. For his final act, Trott led guests to a dimly lit room with a covered tank, in which he claimed that there was a mermaid.
This sounds just like Zach Bag. I always call him Baggins on purpose, but Baggins or whatever.
Baggins, yeah.
His haunted house thing that we went to. It sounds just like it, honestly.
Oh, yeah. I would never go there because that weird-ass doll is there. Well, there's multiple weird-ass dolls, but the one that you can't say the name.
Multiple weird dolls.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to hard pass on that.
And there's also one of those boxes that are Jewish customs.
Divot box. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I'm going to hard pass on that.
It's all very creepy. I will definitely attest to that. The doll, like, you're supposed to say hello, say the name, and then goodbye. And you have to say hello and goodbye because that ends the interaction. If you don't end the interaction, something bad could happen.
You'll find them in your bed when you get home.
Maybe. Who knows? Stranger things have happened. So, yeah. Writing. But I mean, it was creepy. But I wouldn't do it again. It was an experience. But there's a lot of not good things in one house. And that right there got me. I was just like, probably wasn't the best thing I could have done in Las Vegas, but it was interesting, to say the least.
Yeah.
And I'm still around, so hey.
Hard pass. I'm not a big fan of Baggins, anyway.
No.
He's weird.
Me neither. That's why I call him Baggins. Like the Hobbit.
Oh. Yeah, I guess I'll start calling him Baggins. This episode is off the rails. So, he's got this mermaid, quote-unquote, in this tank. And he gets people back there, and he's like, I got this mermaid. And he lifts the cover to reveal various plants, shells, distracting enough to disguise a, quote, tail-like object, unquote. He would only let them gaze at the tank for a few seconds before covering it back up. Yeah, he was faking the whole thing. But
misdirection.
I mean, but I have to give it to my guy because, like, at least he wasn't cutting a monkey in half and sewing it to a half of a fish. Because, like,
yeah, that's right.
Was P.T. Barnum okay?
No.
Hello?
No, absolutely not.
Hello. Yeah, so he's like faking the whole thing. He would only let people see it for a while, but people were like so mesmerized and they were so excited with the idea of this that they started claiming that they actually saw the mermaid. So, yeah. And that caused like quite a stir. Next door, the root doctor began to express concerns that this mermaid was bad news for Charleston and its people. Because you have to remember, like, root doctor, that's a Gullah Geechee person. They're like a leader in like medicine and, you know, things like that. And they believe in like these specific spirits and creatures and things like that. And they're like, bro, this ain't cool. Maybe, like, don't do that. You know? But Broheim didn't listen. And in late June, a Category 1 hurricane hit Charleston. And it would not let up. The root doctor confronted Trod, claiming that his mermaid probably had a baby out at sea and was causing a storm that wouldn't stop until she was freed. As the storm continued, concerned citizens took the root doctor's side following the death of a young boy in the floodwaters. 500-plus people rioted and stormed the apothecary, according to the Daily News. Trot tried to calm down the angry rioters and save his own name by admitting the mermaid was never real to start with. Unfortunately, his hoax was so believable that people actually thought this admission was the lie. Your bait and switch worked too well, buddy. So as the crowd rushed inside, he's like, go ahead and see for yourself. Like, it's not like that's not real. You know, you can just see that it's a tail. And he's like taking him back there. And as the people like crowded in, the storm like picked up and the roof gave way, destroying the tanks and freeing their contents. And as it did, all of the animals, fish, and plants were swept away in the rain. And some of these people claimed to have seen the mermaid go with them, making her way back to the sea.
That's like karma coming back, like with a vengeance.
Yeah. It said that the rain stopped within minutes of this incident, further tangling the web of the lie that Dr. Trot's mermaid extravaganza brought.
Wow. Oops.
This was a really cool one because it's like it's actually documented that this stuff happened. And it's cool because like those 500 plus rioters, a lot of them were Gullah Geechee people. And this was, you know, not long after the Civil War. And so they were newly freed people, but the town actually listened to them and fined Dr. Trot for telling him, hey, you've got to like release this mermaid. The city told him to release the mermaid.
I mean, he'd convinced them that it was real and that he had it. So I can understand that, especially back then. This was when the 17... You said...
No, this was 18...
18?
1867.
Yeah. I mean, like we said, they hadn't even seen, nobody had seen any of this stuff. So would they even know what a real mermaid was supposed to look like anyway? Probably not, outside of the fact that probably it just had not. A fishtail. So that's probably all they needed to see.
Truly. Well, and the fact that a lot of them were like, yeah, I saw it. I saw it swim back to sea. It's like, what if we're the fools and he actually did have a mermaid?
It's possible.
We'll never know.
Maybe that's why we get hurricanes.
Because people have mermaids hidden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the sea's trying to claim them back.
Truly. Yeah.
Boy, Florida's got a lot of mermaids is all I can say.
Listen, I'm going to need to call the meteorology department and let them know ASAP. Anyway.
I'll try to get James Spann to send you a message.
Anyways, so that's Charleston Mermaids. Hopefully that was good. I don't
know. No, it was good. That was interesting information. I'd never heard of it, of a river mermaid. So I'm hoping you're able to find more information on that, because that would be really interesting.
I'm hoping the books that I got are going to go into, because it includes... These include sirens, and they include other stuff, but a lot of them are very specifically like the Gullah Geechee tales, because there's tons of them on like water spirits and things like that. So I'll get more information on that, but also other things that we can.
And the water spirit to me sounds almost like a fairy. So when you were saying like what color it would be, I was like, I was kind of expecting like green or blue or something, to be honest.
Those are interesting because some of them say like specifically mermaid, but to me, when you're reading like the description for them, even though a lot of them are water based, it sounds a lot like elemental base. So like when it was saying that it can be in rocks or they can be in like water, I was like, oh, that's more like elements, which is more of like, what are those, sprites?
Sprites, yeah.
Or something. Yeah. Think. Which wouldn't be surprising, but I think sprites are like, are they Irish?
That sounds right.
I don't know. I'm not up on my sprite lore. Yeah.
We'll cover that later. But good job. You did an excellent job. And this was a nice, lighthearted episode, which we desperately needed after the last one. So thank you very much for fulfilling that need. Much appreciated.
Hey, you're welcome. Yeah. And poor Fiji. Rest in peace to both of them, I
Kelsey's
guess.
Kelsey's going to have that in her nightmares tonight.
Yikes. Anyway, well, great job, you guys. And great job, me, for throwing this together very last minute.
For sure.
Oh, man.
It was fascinating.
Hey, and there's more to come. I'm not as obsessed with mermaids as I am with pirates, but it's up there. I was kind of bummed that you guys didn't want to hear about a pirate, because it was going to be a female pirate, but you know what,
save it for later.
Yeah, I didn't want to spoil it for you when you guys were choosing. Anyway, thanks for listening. We love you.
I think it's funny that you said because you let us choose and then you chose the thing that we didn't choose, so I don't really understand why you're even talking about what we chose anyway, but it's fine.
I know. Anyway, until next time, we love you. We mean it.
Okay, bye.
The Reaper will come for us all.